for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April 14th, 2001. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the evening.
Jesus is here tonight. If he's not here, we better go home, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, come up and pray tonight. Yes. Come up and pray. Praise the Lord. This is a good brother here. He's been coming here a long time. Pray with the word. Would you, brother?
Thank you, most of gracious Heavenly Father. We just praise you and we glorify you tonight, Amen. Lord God. Lord, just come into our presence. I know, Lord God, you're in our presence right Amen. Now. Lord, be in Tommy like he's never been before. And I thank you for his teaching last night, God, because you opened windows of heaven unto us, Father. Lord, just open them again and again and again, Lord, through him, Lord. Anoint him like he's never been anointed before. Continue to be with this camp. Lord, bless all these people out here with Amen. Your word, Lord Amen. God. They bring fresh life and newness to their life. Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. God bless you, God. Praise the Lord. Turn to Revelation. I believe you can find that book, can't you? Revelation chapter 1. How many thank God for His Word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. How many study the Word every day? Some portions of it. We need to, don't we? We need the Word of God. Praise God. A lot of times I get deliverance just from studying the Word. I'll sit up late at night sometimes and I'll get convicted and I get some good deliverance just by myself, just from reading the Word. I mean, things come out. And I don't mean I imagine it. I mean, I get deliverance. I mean, the Word works. It is our deliverer, isn't it? Amen. Now, some of you think this is all I preach in time, but I don't just preach in time all the time. When I come here, I usually do. That's the way the Lord's directed me. I preach a lot on deliverance. And other things, other subjects. How many of you got a local fellowship? You just can't preach one subject all the time, can you? But I love to teach the untimed word. We need all the word of God, don't we? So in chapter 1 of Revelation, let's start with verse 1. It's the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Now, over the heading in my Bible, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. Well, how many know that Jesus gave him that revelation, but it's the revelation of Jesus? Isn't that right? And we said last night that in chapter 22 and verse 16, Jesus said these words to us. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And what things was he talking about? He's talking about the revelation of Jesus. And we need a revelation of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I don't need a revelation of a lot of things, but I need a revelation of him. How many know we need Jesus tonight more than we've ever needed him? I need him, don't you? I trust in him. I believe in him. Hallelujah. And as Glenn says, there's got to be a real total commitment to the Lord. Can you say amen? Brother Howard's testimony again really touched my heart this morning. How many know that leaving your body like that and going before God and all the things that happen, it'd sure shake you up, wouldn't it? Amen? But here in chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, I want to show you this angel for a minute here. Let's turn back now to Revelation chapter 15. Let's go over to chapter 15. We'll search out some scriptures here. Chapter 15, look at verse 1. And I'll try to slow down a little bit tonight. I know we went kind of rapidly last night, but that's just my style sometimes, the way the Lord directs. Isn't that right, Frank? In chapter 15, verse 1, I saw another sign in heaven. Well, if he saw another sign, he'd seen one before. Isn't that true? Notice, great and marvelous, seven angels. What's the number seven? Spiritual perfection, right? He saw seven angels having the seven last plagues or bowl judgments, okay? For in them is filled up the wrath of God. That's what he says here now. So he's seeing these seven angels bringing forth seven plagues. Now think about that. Now go over to chapter 15. Look at verse 5. Look in chapter 15 and verse 5. Then he says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And notice the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. Now, I told you last night who wore white linen. Who are those? Overcomers. Amen. And having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And then verse 7, one of the four beasts. Remember, there are four beasts here in Revelation and Ezekiel. It said, one of the four beasts gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of what? Full of the wrath of God, right? Who liveth forever and ever, and so forth, and the temple of God was open. Now go to chapter 16, verse 1. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials, the bowls, the vial judgment, the plagues of the wrath of God upon the earth. And how many believe that this, I'll get it out in a minute, this earth will experience bold judgments. Isn't that right? The wrath of God. Now, how many know he's a God of love, but he is also a God of wrath. Isn't that true? God is both. Praise the Lord. Now, in chapter 17, let's go to 17 and verse 1. And notice there came one of the seven. Now, there were seven angels. Now, he said, there comes one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, or literally, come closer. Now, you remember John was caught up in the Spirit, right? Now, as he's in the Spirit, the angel says, now, John, come a little closer. How many believe the Lord's telling all of us, come a little closer tonight? Isn't that right? Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, look in verse 15. He tells us what the waters are. In verse 15 there of Revelation 17. I mean, the Bible explains itself. It's not hard to understand if we can just get in the Spirit and hear God. Isn't that right? Verse 15, he said to me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. I mean, that's worldwide. I said that's worldwide. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, now, so we see that the angel here comes and talks about this judgment of this great whore. How many believe God's going to judge this religious whore, this harlot, and her daughters as well? Can you say amen? You know, she's also called a city, just like the bride of Christ is called the city. Isn't that right? And also, as we're going up in here, look in chapter 21 now of Revelation, 21:7. We see the same angel. I'm pretty sure it's the same angel. It seems to be. In chapter 21, verse 9, notice it says, there came unto me one of the seven angels. Now, that was the same in chapter 17, verse 1. And he said, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come hither, or come closer, and now I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So first he sees the harlot. Now he sees the Lamb's wife. Can you see that? How many see that? Do we see it? Okay. Now, praise God. I won't get into that yet. Okay, so he's going to see the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. So, how many know there's some people don't understand the harlot system, the whore system? Amen? How many believe the word Jezebel can be the harlot church? It is the harlot. The Lord told me it was the harlot church years ago. It is a harlot church, her and her daughters. Now, let's go up to chapter 21 now. Look at verse 10, the next verse. Look at the following verse. And look at this next verse. He, the angel, carried me away where? Anybody want to get carried away tonight? In the Spirit. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain. And Isaiah 2 talks about that mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. What kind of city is it? It's holy. How many believe that's a people? I said, how many believe that's a people? It's not a carnal, physical city. It's a people. Descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and so forth. Now, look down to in chapter 21, look down to verse 15. And he, the angel that talked with me, had a golden reed to measure the city. Everybody, how many's following me now with that angel? Do you see that? He is the angel. All right, look in verse 16. And the city lieth four square, the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city. Notice, he measured the city. Who measured? The angel. You see that? Then verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. So the angel's doing a lot of work here, isn't he? He's measuring. Now look in 22:1. Look in chapter 22 and verse 1. And he, the angel, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. 22:6. Look at 22:6. And he said to me, angel's talking to John again, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, his bondservants, the things that must shortly, come on, be done. Well, how many know that some of it hadn't been done yet? How many believe there's some fulfillment yet to be fulfilled? Is that true? But in God's sight, there is no time, isn't there? Amen? In the Spirit, how many know time is, there's nothing about time, okay, compared to the way we think of it. Now, look in chapter 22, verse 8, and I, John, saw these things. I heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the who? Come on, who is he? He's a prophet. He's one had passed on, had died, and in the Spirit, in the heavens, here's a prophet showing John this revelation of Jesus. He had it in him. How many know God gave John and Paul and Peter the revelation of Jesus Christ? And this prophet, whoever he is, all kind of people speculate and guess who he is. Now, I think we've all got an opinion, but it don't mean anything. But no matter who it is, it was still a prophet, right, that had the revelation of Jesus. And so he said here in this verse, he said, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Then look in verse 16. Then Jesus said again, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And so that angel was one of those seven. How many understand that? That angel was one of the seven angels that's going to bring forth plagues and vile judgments upon the earth. Well, if one of them's a prophet, I believe they're all the redeemed. Because they're all wearing what? Linen. Is that right? Now, turn back to Revelation 3, and I'll show you this again. Look in Revelation 3, and in it's Revelation 3 I want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Look in praise God. Verse 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in what? In white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Hallelujah. How many know that speaks of the righteousness of saints? Isn't that true? It's what it speaks of. Praise God. So I'm telling you, let's go back to chapter 1 now, that this revelation came from the Father to the Son, from the Son to the angel, and from the angel to John, and from John to the churches. How many thank God that we have the revelation of Jesus here? But how many know we need a revelation of the revelation of Jesus? Can you say amen? Amen. We need a revelation in our hearts who He is. Amen? Praise God. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians just a second. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 12. And look at verse 1. Paul, the apostle, says, it is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. How many want more revelation visions of the Lord? Of the Lord. Hallelujah. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Evidently, that was when Paul was stoned over in the book of Acts. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, heard unspeakable words that's not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. Now, verse 7. Now, how many know God has a balancing factor? When you start receiving revelation, how many know God's going to allow a balance to come in your life? Call a thorn or some problem. Isn't that right? Or affliction. And lest I should be exalted above what? Come on. Measure. Through the abundance of the revelations or the revelation of Jesus, there was given to me. How many know it's given? I mean, it's a gift. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan or the angel of Satan to buffet me. And how many know Paul was buffeted wherever he went? Is that true? He was beaten. He was buffeted. Wherever he went, because he had such a revelation. How many know he wrote most of the New Testament? He said, Satan came to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Amen. Now, look at the verse 7 again. Lest I, how many know we all got an eye? And usually it's a big eye, isn't it? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Because of all those revelations. Well, God knows how to take care of I, doesn't he? Isn't that right? How many know we can all get too big for our britches, and God knows how and what it takes to bring us down? Amen? If we exalt ourselves, we shall be what? Abased. If we go down, he's going to lift us up. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. How many believe we need to go down tonight? Now, Satan did the opposite. He reached. And when he did, come on, he fell. If we reach, we're going to fall. But if we go down, he'll raise us up. Can you say amen? How many know that we're nothing without him? And I don't care how many revelations we have, rather than we're nothing without Jesus. And we need to go down daily before him. Can you say amen? Every one of us. Now, in chapter 1, let's go to 1 Peter 1:13. One other scripture, and I want to go back to Revelation. 1 Peter 1:13, I think it is. I hope I'm right. Hallelujah. Is it 1:13? Thank you, Lord. Chapter 1, verse 13. Now look at this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What gives us the big problem today? Come on. It's the mind, isn't it? Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this revelation is first within, and yet there will be a revelation of Christ coming out there in the air. How many believe he's coming in the air? He's coming out there. Now, I've been around brethren lately that don't believe in the literal coming of Jesus, and I'll tell you that era. Jesus himself will come. Can you say amen? Amen. The man Jesus that's there on the right hand of the Father tonight will be here again. Amen? In the earth. Praise God. Now, I believe he must come in as first, yes. But that's not the end of it. He's coming out there. Praise God. Anybody want to see Jesus? In your spirit as well as coming out there. Hallelujah. And so here Peter said, that grace is going to be brought to us at this revelation of Jesus because of the things, I'll tell you, we're going to be going through. Now, look in here in chapter 1 and look in verse 6. Verse 5. Well, let's go back to verse 4. We'll get it here in a minute. Chapter 1, verse 4. Look at this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. How many know that's full salvation? Spirit, come on, help me. Soul and body. How many know salvation also means deliverance? Ready to be revealed when? In the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness, though manifold, through manifold temptation. How many see that? If need be. Well, how many know some need to be? Come on. How many know the afflictions come through the gospel? You ever read that in Timothy? The afflictions of the gospel brings afflictions, doesn't it? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, notice, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. So we see it's the revelation of Jesus. Amen. And that word revelation means to take the cover off. I may believe he's going to take the cover off a lot of things in this hour. Amen. God's going to strip. He's going to deal with America. He's going to deal with the church. He's going to deal with nations. Because he's going to wind this thing up for long, isn't he? How many believe that? I can't tell you when. How many know he knows the day and the hour and all that? But he's coming soon, isn't he? But this word revelation means to take the cover off. It means coming. It means manifestation. It means to make known concerning divine things that are not known before. It means instruction. It means a lot of things here, this word. It's a heavy word. And so John is talking about. Now, John was an apostle. We know that. But how many know an apostle is also a prophet, a teacher, shepherd, an evangelist, and all the rest of them? Amen? But John was a man ahead of his time. He was a prophet ahead of his time. He was a prophet, a preacher. He was projected into the day of the Lord. He was wrapped, Amplified said he was wrapped in power or in the Spirit. Praise God. He prophesied, and he was on the island of Patmos. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many know the apostle governs, the prophet guides, the evangelist gathers, the shepherd guards, and the teacher grinds? Hallelujah. And John, right here, he's given a lot of instruction by the Spirit. As Brother Pittman said this morning, he was taken out of his body. His body is on the Isle of Patmos, but he was taken out of his body in the Spirit to the throne of God, and he was showed this great revelation of Jesus. Praise God. And it was revealed to him, things that he saw. In fact, it astonished him, some things that he saw, especially when he saw that harlot, that whore. It shocked him, didn't it? How many know it's going to shock us what God might show us in this hour? Amen? I've been shocked a few times since I've come to the Lord. Anybody been shocked besides me? Amen. Now, look at the blessings here in Revelation. Look in chapter 1. Look in verse, let's see here. Well, let's look first of all just a minute. He said something in verse 1. It says here that this revelation, verse 1, must shortly come to pass, right? And then in verse 3, he said the time's at hand. And yet a lot of it hadn't been fulfilled. But in the Spirit, John could say that. How many know when you're in the Spirit, Jesus coming is imminent? But when you're out of the Spirit, it may be 50 years. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? When you're in the Spirit, his coming is imminent. But when you're out of the Spirit, you know, it's way down the road there. It won't come in my lifetime. How many know it could happen in our lifetime? Is that true? Amen. And look at the word sign there, signified in verse 1. Signified. Sign. How many believe this word of God is a tremendous sign to us today? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now look at the blessings here. Look in chapter 1, verse 3. Here's the first blessing. I want to take you through these seven blessings in Revelation. He said, blessed is he that what? Readeth. And those that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein. Now, I want you to notice. He said to you and I, you'll be blessed just to read this book. Number two, you'll be blessed just to hear it. And you're hearing some of it tonight. And thirdly, he said you'll be blessed if you keep the things that are written therein. I mean, that's a deal, isn't it? Anybody want God's blessing? I'm not talking about goosebumps. I'm talking about the real blessings of God. How many know the devil can give you goosebumps? Come on, amen? Look at, I don't guess you believe it. Okay, look in chapter 14. Look in chapter 14. Here's the second blessing, verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. Here's the second blessing. Way over here in Revelation. Now he said, he's talking about those who would take the mark of the beast. But in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Now, I want you to notice that. He's warning about the taking the mark, and he said, here's the patience of the saints. I want to tell you, not all the saints have been raptured. They're here. They're here during this tribulation. Amen. I do not for 1 minute believe the church will be caught up before the tribulation. I'm sorry. I used to believe it. I told you last night. There's not a way I believe that anymore. I can hear preachers on television, priests, and I, the very things I come out of in 1970, 71. And my heart goes out to them because I was in the same place. The church is going to go through fire. And that's what Brother Pittman said this morning. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. And notice they have the faith of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many want the faith of Jesus? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Come on. And hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that right? Praise God. That's the rhema hearing. That's that rhema word. How many know this word without the Spirit's dead? Isn't that right? But it can come alive to you tonight by the Holy Spirit. You believe that? God can quicken faith to you and to me. Praise the Lord. And so he said, here's the patience of the saints. Now, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead. Did you hear those words? We think it's a curse for somebody to die. Hey, how many know it can be a blessing for some? Blessed, are the dead which die in the Lord. If you're going to die, die in the Lord, right? From henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. I'd rather hear him talk than me. Come on. That they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. You know what he's saying? In this tribulation, it's going to be a blessing for many to die because of the pressure that's on them. That's not my words. That's his words, brother. There's going to be people die in this time of trouble. Can you say amen? Look in chapter 16, verse 15. Here's the third blessing. He said, behold, I come as a thief. Now, I want you to notice, way over here in chapter 16, he hadn't came yet. I was taught in chapter 4, John's raptured. He's a picture of the rapture of the church. I'll tell you something. He's the picture of the man-child who's caught to the throne in the Spirit. But right here, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. What are we watching? We're watching what we say and what we do ourselves. How many believe we need to watch what we say? We need to guard our own self. Come on. We all need to judge ourselves. Can you say amen? I don't need to judge you. I need to judge myself when I get out of line, when I say things and do things wrong. He said, we got to watch and keep. He said, and keep your garments, his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame, lest he become that Laodicean Christian that Brother Pitt was talking about this morning. And he gathered them together in a place called Armageddon. Praise God. And so, there's a blessing there, because he said, blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments. Hold on to your garments. Don't lose them. How many know we need his righteousness every day? We're covered with righteousness. We're covered with Christ himself. He is our garment. Can you say amen? We need to be endued with power daily from the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what Jesus said over in Luke 24. And that means sinking into a garment. And I want to tell you, those who lose their garments are not praying in the Holy Ghost. They're not praying in, they're not seeking God. But those who seek God, he's covering us. Hallelujah. Daily. Can you say amen? We need that relationship with him. All right, look in chapter 19, verse 9. 19:9. Praise God. Here he said, right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper. Now turn back to chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. And look in verse, what is it, 19? Verse 20. Now look at verse 20. I want to show you a word here. Behold, I stand at the door and do something. Knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Notice that. I'm going to come right into him. Christ in us is the hope of glory, right? I will come into him and will sup with him, and he will sup with me. How many see the word sup there? That's the word supper. I'm not talking about a long table in heaven 1,500 miles long with green beans, steak, and mashed potatoes. I'm talking about an intimacy with Jesus. That's the supper I want. Hallelujah. I'm talking about God doing a work not only in my spirit, but in my soul, an intimacy with Jesus. And I want you to notice in this verse, we're going to sup with him and he with me. Who's going to eat first? He's going to partake. What's he going to partake of? That which he's put in you. not carnality. Come on. Right? How many believe if you spread a table for Jesus, how many is going to spread one for you? That's hard for our carnal mind to reason and think that out. Amen? How many has ever seen them big long tables in heaven, people up there eating, throwing chicken bones back on the sinners? You ever heard that? Ain't going to happen that way. Hallelujah. Dear God, help us. Look in chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20, verse 6. You know, heaven's a holding tank. How many of you die, you go to heaven tonight? But you know what? Jesus is bringing back those that are there with him. Is that true? Sure he is. And I thank God for heaven tonight. Because I believe if we die, we go to be with him. But here in chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they're going to reign with him how long? Come on. I'm going to tell you something. You may not believe this. You may not understand this. The resurrection of Jesus, the first resurrection, is 1,000 years, not 5 minutes. He talked about those who would he would raise up in that day. That day is 1,000 years. Praise God. Now, the Bible said every man in his own order. The order is first fruits and then all others. The overcomers, will, I said last night, and I can show you from the Word of God, the overcomers will start the resurrection. Hallelujah. Those in Christ, those the dead in Christ, those that move and live in Christ will start this resurrection. And then every man in his own order, his rank or battalion, so forth. But right here in this scripture, he said, blessed and holy. I mean, if you're going to be in this resurrection, it's going to take some holiness, his holiness, to be in that first resurrection. Now, we know there's a second resurrection after the 1,000 years. And we don't want any part of that, do we? Amen. How many want to be in the first resurrection? Praise God. I think we all do. Now look in chapter, please, look in chapter 22 and verse 7. 22 and verse 7. Praise God. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then over in chapter 22, verse 14, we read this last night. I won't go into it tonight. He said again, blessed are they that do his commandments, those that actually practice the Word of God, that they may have the right, the privilege, the authority to the tree of life, who is Jesus, and they may enter into the gates into the city. The 12 gates speaks of his maturity and the fullness of Christ. Praise God. So there's going to be 7 blessings given to the people of God. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Is anybody getting boring tonight? Okay, good. I love this book. I could just stay in it. I just love to teach it. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we wear people out with it, but I tell you what, it shouldn't wear you out. Amen. Chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Revelation and verse 3. No, it's not verse 3. I'm sorry. It is verse 4. John to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits that are before his throne. Now, where are those 7 spirits at? Before the throne. Can we come boldly by his blood to the throne tonight? Yes, we can. Now, if these 7 spirits are before the throne, and he's going to pour out his fullness upon the church, how many believe it's time to spend time before his throne? Isn't that right? Before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that? Then look in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Praise God. Chapter 4, verse 5. I usually give some definitions of those 7 spirits of God, but I'm not getting that tonight. Chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Notice again, they're before the throne, the 7 spirits of God. Now, let's look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Look in chapter 3 and verse 1. And then he says here, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God. Now, first of all, they're before the throne. Now it says Jesus has the 7 spirits. Is that right? Now, if Jesus has the seven spirits, how many know you've got to go to Jesus to be partaker of that fullness? How many know we're not going to get them? We're not going to get that fullness, excuse me, without Jesus. Is that right? Everything's going through Jesus. Do you believe that? These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, and thou hast the name that you live, in, you live but you're dead. All right, now look over in chapter... Look, did I look in 4:5? Did I read you 4:5? No. Look in chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning, again, before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So here again, they're before the throne. Now look in chapter 5 and verse 6. Look in chapter 5, verse 6. Praise God. Chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having what? Seven horns. How many believe that's all authority? Seven horns and what else? Seven eyes. That's all seeing. That's the Lord. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the lamb. How many know that lamb has the seven horns? He has all authority. And that lamb has seven eyes. It's all seeing. He's full of discernment, isn't he? All discernment is in the lamb. So if you need authority tonight and you need to see in the spirit tonight, how many know you've got to go to Jesus again to get it? Is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many still with me here tonight? Praise God, praise God. This ain't a 15-minute sermonette. God don't give me... I don't preach sermons. I preach messages from the Holy Ghost that He gives me. How many know that's what we need? Isn't that right? We all need it. Praise God. Amen. In Zechariah 3, I won't look all these up because I think some of you are tired of that. Zechariah 3:9, Zechariah 4:10, Isaiah 11 talks about those seven spirits of God. And it's a powerful word to get in those seven spirits. And there's a lot of things I'm just skipping over. But I do believe God's doing a work. Praise the Lord. I want to go over. I'm going to skip down. I'm going to go skip over a lot of this stuff tonight that I have. But I want to get in something else here with you as the Lord directs us. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 14, I think it is. I want to go there. Praise God. How many believe that Armageddon is coming? Armageddon is like the word Babylon. It's worldwide. Sure, it's going to be in the Middle East. We know that. How many know you can watch the television and know there's trouble there? Isn't that right? How many know it's right in Israel's backyard? The trouble. How many know some of our problems right in our own backyard? Household. Isn't that right? That's where most people's problems are. Is that true? Amen. Now, let's turn to Revelation 14. I'm going to show you a few scriptures on Armageddon tonight that the Lord dealt with me today. Chapter 14 and verse 14. Now, in chapter 14, please hear me. You have the 144,000, the sons of God. Then you have the harvest, and then you have the wicked. Okay? Now in chapter 14, verse 14, look at this verse. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one set like the Son of Man. How many believe that's Jesus? Is he called Son of Man? Certainly. And notice, having on his head a golden crown. Now I want you to notice here in 14, it's only a golden crown, one crown. In 19, he has many crowns. And in his hand was a sharp, what? Come on. Sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, I'm not talking about rain clouds. How many know there's a cloud of witnesses? There's a cloud of glory. Amen? Now, did you ever know that you were clouds? How many know Hebrews says there are clouds of witnesses, right? Let's go over to Psalms. I want to give you a scripture here. Psalms, what, 68? Somewhere through there. I want to show you these clouds over in the book of Psalms. Praise God. Psalms, chapter 68, verse 34 and 35. Now watch these two verses in your Bible. It says in verse 34 of Psalm 68, ascribe ye strength. Notice, ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel. And his strength is where? in the clouds. How many see that? His strength is in the clouds. Let's all say that. His strength is in the clouds. Let's say it again. His strength is in the clouds. Now look at verse 6:35. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to who? Now in verse 34, it said his strength is in the clouds. Now he's given strength and power to his people. We are the clouds. How many see it? You see it? God, he says. Hallelujah. How many believe you are the clouds of God? He's coming in clouds, and every eye shall see him. And yet we know that cloud also represents the glory of God. I talked about that last night. Is that right? All right, let's go back to Revelation 14. Jesus comes out on a cloud. He pulls out, there's a sickle being pulled out here. And in verse 15, another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the clouds, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now this is the general harvest. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. You can read that also in Matthew 13. And another angel comes out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. Another angel, I mean, these angels are busy, aren't they? Another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire. And he cried with a loud voice, a cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now, here we're going to see it's the wicked here, okay? And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it in the great wine press, notice, of what? Of the wrath of God. How many see that? And the wine press was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So there is a wine press that's going to be trodden down, and the blood will come out of that wine press. Now, look in Revelation 19:15. Just one verse. We'll come back there maybe later. Look in 19:15. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. That's what we saw in chapter 12 and chapter 2 last night. This is Jesus here. He treadeth, what's he going to tread? Come on, help me. The winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to show you this in the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah 63. How many know the wrath of God's coming? I don't want to be under it, do you? Isaiah 63. Look at verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments? From Bozrah, this that is glorious, I want you to notice that word glorious, in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, I want you to notice that red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the what? The wine fat. I want you to notice that. I have trodden the wine press alone, he said. And of the people, there was none with me, for I will tread them down in mine anger. Now, this is the day of the Lord. This is the coming of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For I will tread them down in my anger, trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For, here's why, the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus was preaching in Luke, how many know he stopped short of saying the day of vengeance? Because we haven't come to that. Isn't that right? How many know what I'm talking about in Luke 4:18? Amen? Now, look in with me another scripture. Let's go back to Revelation 16. Let's go to Joel. Joel chapter 3. Praise God. Joel 3. And look with me in verse 12. Joel 3:12. And look at this verse. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get you down for the notice, for the press. That's that wine press. The wine press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. How many know wickedness is great in America tonight? It's more than we've ever seen it, as well as the world. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. When is it? Verse 15. Here's Matthew 24 now. It says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall roar out of Zion. Amen. And so the wine press is full. Wickedness is full. And God is coming. Jesus is coming to judge the wicked. Amen. Now let's go back to Revelation 16. Hallelujah. Revelation 16. I'm talking about Armageddon. I'm talking about the last battle. Not only physical battle in the world, but spiritual battles as well. Paul said we're coming to an evil day. Remember that? What we got to have on when we come to that evil day? We got to have the armor. Is that right? Now, it may be tomorrow for some of us, but, I mean, the evil day that I'm talking about is the day of the Lord. Now, here in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. Now, there's a message there that I'm not even going to get into, okay? That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. How many believe China's going to march yet? You know, we just had a little incident with China. Let me tell you something. China's going to rumble. China's going to move one of these days. And they're going to be brought down by God. Can you say amen? And so is Russia. And so many other nations are going to be brought down. But here he said in this verse that the way of the kings might be prepared, those eastern nations. I know others look at it a different way. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon. Here's the false trinity. Out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons. Working what? What are they working? How many know they still work miracles? The devils do. False miracles. Which go forth unto the... Now watch this. These spirits go forth to the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them. Now, how many know God's using these demons? How many know God uses the devil? I want to tell you, they can't do anything unless they get permission from God. Can you hear what I'm saying? It says, amen, that they, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And who's he using? He's using demons. Huh? Because who are they going to gather? They're going to gather the kings of the whole earth. Isn't that right? Let me see it. Behold, I come as a thief and so forth. All right, now let me show this. Now go to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Hallelujah. And if you read on down in chapter 16, you would have seen he's talking about Armageddon. But here in Isaiah 13. Now, the wording changes a little bit here. In Isaiah 13. We're talking about the same time. The day of the Lord. We're talking about Armageddon. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, you look in verse 4. I want you to notice what it says. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. Now here it says the Lord's going to do it, doesn't it? In Revelation, he's using demons to do it. Come on. How many know God's still behind it? Is that right? Sure. Sure. Amen. And so, now look here in chapter 13, verse 3. The Lord said, I've commanded my sanctified ones, my holy ones. I've called my mighty ones. Listen, God has some mighty ones here on the earth, but God has mighty ones also in heaven tonight. Isn't that right? He's got Paul, come on, Peter and John and Moses and Abraham and Jeremiah and some of them. Isn't that right? God said, I'm going to call for my mighty ones. It's going to shock some of us, and we just might be joined by some others on the other side. Come on, in the battle down the road. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Hallelujah. In fact, I know we are. But he said right here, he said in this verse, I've commanded my sanctified ones, I've called my mighty ones. That's also mentioned in Joel chapter 3, verse 11, and Zechariah 10, verse 5. Now, when is this going to happen? Look at verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. And verse 10, here's Matthew 24 again. The stars of heaven and the constellations shall not give the light. The sun shall be dark and it's going forth, and the moon shall not cause your light to shine. And God said, I'm going to punish the world for their evil. How many know He's coming as a God of wrath in His next coming? Can you say amen? He's coming that way. Now, it should not shock us that we're reading these things tonight. How many know that we need to judge ourselves daily and be ready when Jesus comes? Isn't that right? Ourselves. And it shouldn't shock us that we read these things. Because, brethren, He's going to shake this whole world again. You talk about shake, rattle, and roll. How many know it's going to do some shaking and rattling and rolling? Rolling. Praise God. He's going to do it. Now, look in Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Praise God. Zephaniah chapter 1. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man, now notice here it's a different kind of mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of what? What kind of day is it? Wrath. A day of trouble, distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. You know, people say, I don't like to hear that old gloom and doom teaching. Well, talk to the Lord. He said the day of the Lord is going to be that way. Next, verse 16, a day of the trumpet. And the alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have done something. Come on, help me. They've sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able. I don't think I have any problem with silver and gold. How about you? I don't have any stored up. Anybody got it stored up, you better do something with it. People say, well, buy gold and silver. Well, what for? You're going to throw it in the streets if you're still living. Huh? Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be what? Devoured by the fire of jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Amen. Praise God. So, Armageddon's coming. I'll just give you a few scriptures here tonight. It's coming at the end of the tribulation. It's coming when Jesus comes. It's coming after God's raised His sons up. It's coming at the time when Satan will be put down. How many think God is going to be put down? Amen. I don't think some of you believe it. Satan's going to be put down in the pit and in the lake of fire. And every demon in hell is going to be there with... I mean, every demon around is going to be put there too. Can you say amen? All nations are going to be gathered against Jerusalem for this last battle, as well as worldwide. Amen. God's going to gather His elect. He's coming with great destruction. It is the supper of the great God. It's the day of the Lord. Now, in closing, look in Revelation 19. I'm going to close here. This is all I'm going to say. How many believe in chapter 19 you have two suppers? You know that? Look at this. There's two suppers here in chapter 19. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look in chapter 19. Here, let me go back and find my... I want to make sure I get this right. Praise God. Chapter 19. Chapter 19, look at verse... Well, I did something with it. Praise God. I know... there's two verses here. Yeah, I know there's two verses. I know that, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something else. Okay, look at verse 9. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's one marriage, right? That's the righteous. Then in verse 17, right? The next supper is, notice, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. How many see that? Amen? But I'm still looking for something here. Now, I got it wrote down. I've got to give you, if the Lord... Okay, here it is. Now, listen to this. I want to tell you five things about here in chapter 19 about this battle of Armageddon. Number one, how many know you got some invited guests? Verse 17. There's going to be some invited guests. Look at verse 17. I saw an angel stand in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God. So who's going to be invited? All the fowls. I'm talking about birds of the air, but how many know birds are a picture of what? As well. Death and demon spirits. Isn't that right? Okay, that's number one. Number two, the supper is foretold, verse 18. The supper is foretold, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So there's a supper foretold here. And then number three, the supper is gathered. The supper is gathered, verse 19. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against who? Against Him, Jesus, that sat on the horse. And against His... Listen, those demons hate you and they hate Jesus. Can you say amen? And number four, the supper is slain. It said the remnant were slain with the sword of Him that sat on the horse. And then fifthly, the fifth thing is, the supper is eaten. Verse 21. It said right here in verse 21 that all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I'm going to say those five things again. The invited guest, the supper foretold, the supper gathered, the supper slain and prepared, and the supper eaten. And that's going to happen when Jesus comes again. How many believe He's coming? I believe He's coming, don't you? I don't believe there's any devil in hell is going to stop Him from coming. You. I don't believe any church is going to stop Him from coming. But I believe there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be ashamed when He comes. What the Bible says. I don't want to be ashamed when He comes. Amen. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. How about you? I want to be like Him when He comes. But I know to be like Him. How many believe He's got to do a work in our hearts? In our lives? Do you believe that? Anybody got a question on what we said tonight? Yes, sir? Yes? Well, it could mean many things. Even the towers there can also mean the big buildings with skyscrapers and things like that, as well as pride in people's lives, see? There's all kind of, you know, dimensions we could probably look at that. It could mean many things. Anything that's a wall, you know, built up against the Lord, right? Anything that keeps people out from the Lord. Okay, fence, wall, whatever it may be. Somebody else? Yes, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Isaiah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That was in Jesus. Those seven, that was in Jesus. The fullness, it was in Jesus. He's going to put that in His people. Amen. And He has those seven spirits. That's why we got to go to Him. Amen. There's a people going to enter it first. Yes, sir.
The Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's no need for a new earth if living human beings aren't going to live on it.
Well,
there's going to be another place to live.
No, the earth's not going to be destroyed. I can show you that from the scriptures. It's not going to be destroyed. But we won't get into that now. I wouldn't get through if I did. Amen. The earth speaks of the carnal realm too. How many know carnality is going to be dealt with? But I can show you from many scriptures that the earth is going to be here. In fact, if you don't believe it, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Just look there. I'll give you one scripture. Just one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, it's right here before Isaiah somewhere. Song of Solomon's one. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. Somebody read verse 4, would you? Somebody's got the Bible. Read it loud. 1:4, Ecclesiastes. Stand and read it. Stand to your feet and read it. Who's got it? Up. How long? Does that mean forever? All right. All right. Somebody else got a question? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Right. That's where the work's done. That's right. You're exactly right. Okay, sister. Go ahead. And I know, but... But see, he said, wherein dwelleth righteousness? Where is righteousness? On the street or in here? Huh? So you got to take that in context, too. So it's the work that's being done here in this earth, okay? If I had time, we'd get in that and I'd show it to you, okay? But I can't do that tonight. Somebody else. Hallelujah. I'm not saying there's not going to be a cleansing out there somewhere. God knows. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, right. Amen. But how many know it starts first right here? But there's going to be a cleansing out there. You can believe that. Okay, somebody, one more question. Oh, yes, okay.
God owns the whole universe.
Yes.
Why don't we have 1,000 more Earths around the universe?
Well, we'll have to ask Him someday. Praise God. Somebody's got another question. One more question. You got a question. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. Oh, her. Okay. Did you have your hand up, brother? Your hand. Okay, brother. Well, it starts right here. Like I said, we was talking to him about that. It starts here. Okay?
Hallelujah.
It's connected with that bride if you'll read all the context in Revelation 21.
Really?
Let's look in Revelation 21. Look in, yes, sir. Sure. Look here in Revelation 21. Let's read 21, then we close. First five verses. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven, first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, you've got to take this with 2 Peter 3 that the sister mentioned here. There's other things that I could go in this with. I mean, you just can't take one scripture. You've got to take other scriptures with it. Isn't that right? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For, look at this, the former things are what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now look at verse 5. And he that sat upon on the throne said, behold, I make all things. Where's he doing that? Out there or in here? It's in here. It's here. Hallelujah. Can you see that? If you can see it, you can understand the word. If you're going to try to take it in the car, you won't understand it. Neither will I. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit. Come on. They are life. And you got to approach this book of Revelation in the spirit. That's where John was when he got it. Isn't that right? But so much of it's preached only in the natural. And so, and I don't mean that, I don't rule out the natural. But we've got to understand it in the spirit. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand and dismiss. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful people. We thank you, Lord, for their dedication to you. We pray for them. We pray that your love, your peace, and your joy shall overtake them. And we ask, Father, that you go with them, Lord, through the rest of these meetings, and that you protect them as they go home. Keep us all, we pray, in your mighty hand. And everybody said, amen. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you. Praise God. Lord, through the rest of these meetings, and as you protect them as they go home, keep us all, we pray, in your mighty hand. And everybody said, amen. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.